Penguin Random House Audio presents Lost Autumn by Mary Rose McColl. Read for you by Catherine McEwen and Candice Moll. To Bluey Joshua and Olive Rose. My barn having burned to the ground, I can now see the moon. Japanese proverb. From Winter Skies by M. A. Bright. London, 1921. There she is on the stone bench that circles the fountain in the centre of the square, where she's been sitting since early afternoon, watching and waiting as the church in front of her fades into darkness. The only illumination now is from that lamp on the side of the rectory, right where the nurse at the Sally Ann had told her it would be. It's April. Unseasonably cold. Of course it is. The baby in her arms does not stir. Of course he doesn't.
Fatigue, the nurse had said. You're both suffering from fatigue. Are you getting enough rest?
She'd almost laughed. Even then she hadn't slept in. How long was it? She was too hungry to sleep. When had she last eaten? The nurse asked. She didn't know that either. I'm worried about the baby, she said quietly. The baby, she repeated when the nurse appeared not to hear.
Oh, note to worry there,
the nurse said, sniffing dismissively.
He'll suck the marrow from your bones before it'll go without. Lusty, that one.
The nurse smiled, but her smile was without kindness.
You'll perish long before he does, dearie, and keep producing milk until the end.
A missing tooth at the lower front might have been the reason the nurse whistled on her S's. It might have been what made the smile look bitter. Perhaps underneath was a soul seeking the light.
But you can't stay here with a bairn. You must know that, a lass like you.
A lass like her.
You'll find it easily enough. They keep the lamp burning all through the night.
And there it was. It's one hard thing. That's what the nurse had said, her blue eyes steely.
It's one hard thing and then it's over.
She was shivering now. The mist that had gathered around them with the darkness had collected itself into a light rain. She wrapped her shawl more tightly about the child as she stared at the lamp. She stood suddenly, awkwardly, as if her mind had made itself up and ordered her body to follow, resistance taking up residence in the large muscles of her legs as she bade them walk. Above the lighted window was a shallow awning that didn't quite shield them from the rain, and under the awning, a window box shaped like half a wheel. It housed a tiny crib lined with soft straw, over which was a blanket. Someone had crocheted a blanket of little squares in different colours backed with thick wool. Someone had cared enough to do that. She laid him on the straw and put the blanket on top. He didn't cry. Even though the rain was still falling and the awning was not keeping them dry. She bent over to wipe a droplet of water from his cheek with her thumb. He only looked at her, big eyes filled with that light, brightest in babies and the dying. The inner light that ebbs and flows with the passing of years. Years they would not pass together. We don't always know the right thing, she said, her voice surprisingly true. The rain was more like sleet now. She mustn't tarry. Quickly she started turning the handle, her fingers numb with the cold. The wheel creaked and began to turn inward. The baby stirred a moment and then settled, eyes closing. As she wound the handle and the crib moved slowly away from her, she felt the rush of cold in her belly, a cold that would never altogether leave her. Away from her, toward his life. He raised a hand, just an involuntary gesture. But she took it as a wave, that little hand, those tiniest of fingernails she already knew so completely. Her last view was of the shawl, her only shawl, a brilliant blue, disappearing into the church, and a second empty crib that came around from inside to stand ready. A different eiderdown in this one. No crocheted blanket. Empty. She walked away and did not look back. It was a morning, the second day or the third. She couldn't be sure. On the first night, the nurse had welcomed her back at the Salienne as if none of it had happened. But time had become solid now. Her arms, which felt heavy. Her breasts, which ached or stung and leaked milk when she thought of him. That little hand waving. Those light blue eyes. She must get on. She was dressed and ready to go down to Harley Street, where there was a typing job. She stuffed strips torn from the bottom of her petticoat into her bras, just in case. She would get the job and go to the church and say she could take him now. Now that she'd slept, eaten, and the madness had left her. Her body knows. He is hers. She is his. She will have to hurry because her milk will dry up and she'll not get it back. Once she has the job, she is sure they'll accept her with a child. Of course they will. She walked into the dining room. The newspaper was on the table. The headline, "Another Babe Perishes." She took in great gulps of the text without breath. A second baby has died in the foundling will at St. John of God Church. The church, the only London establishment to have retained such a contraption, is now the subject of an official investigation, Police Sergeant Harold Forth said earlier today. Mark my words, there is nothing safe about these so-called foundling wheels, Sergeant Forth said. The babe didn't stand a chance, Sergeant Forth said. The cold. It was just too cold for a little one. He was well cared for, the sergeant said. He had a blue silk shawl around him, expensive looking, but it wasn't warm enough. According to Rector Martin Somerset, the bell installed to warn churchmen of a baby's arrival had failed to ring, and the chute through which the baby was placed had failed to close. The little tyke just gave up, Rector Somerset said. She put the paper back down on the counter, smoothed the creases she'd accidentally made in it. She couldn't remember what she was doing, why she was standing there at all. The world was moving slowly around her, herself not moving. One of the other women was behind her.
Come on, slow coach, she said. Haven't got all day to read.
She turned. She would remember the woman's face for the rest of her life. Cheeks like little cherries. Stupid brown eyes like a cow. I'm sorry, she said. And then she fainted. 1. Brisbane, Australia, 1981. I heard a thump that at first I took for a possum in the ceiling. They remind me of my brothers when we were children in this house, pounding across the wooden floors, screaming at one another over some game or claim. At night, I might hear one fall from the jacaranda branches onto the roof. A possum, not a brother now. With a thud you'd think would kill any living creature,
Sample complete. Ready to continue?